You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? Yeah, I know. It's a Monday. It just gets worse and worse. It's like a nightmare you can't wake up from. We'll try to make some sense of it. Willie P is in for Carl today. We like to start the show with a big hearty,
Hey, man.
As you guys know, Yom Kippur today. Carl, of course, being Jewish, his real name is Chaim Rabinowitz. Now, a lot of people don't know that, but sorry to put his business out there. I hope Carl has a good fast today. But Will is in this week. Now, again, Carl's got vacay. And again, it's not like, you know, Quinn's going to get fired this week. Art is going to keep on rolling with it until we get humiliated on national TV by Green Bay. So when Carl comes back from vacay, maybe the story will have changed. You heard Andy and Randy talking about Chris Mortensen saying that Dan Quinn is safe as far as that's what he's hearing for now. Will, how you doing, brother? How was your weekend?
I'm good, man. Other than watching what happened yesterday, got a chance to make some chili thanks to the Dukes and Bell Tailgate at Home 2020. Got some of the Wagyu beef hot dogs from Buckhead Butcher Shop. Oh. They were fantastic.
Yeah, man, guys did a great job. I know we didn't get all the pictures in because a lot of guys wait till Saturday or Sunday to do their grilling with the hashtag Dukes and Bell Tailgate at Home 2020. But we always appreciate you guys showing us the meat. And the love. Hey, man, Squid Billy's producer Craig is back from California from Grandma's funeral. So we got the full house here. But Carl, again, take some time off. And maybe it's a good day to not be on because, to be quite honest with you, Will, I'm a season ticket holder. For those that are new to the show, Carl and I, we don't sit in the press box. We put our money where our mouth is. We're in it with you guys. I mean, it's just so aggravating. Will, it's just there's things that most football fans, even like the casual fan, even a guy who maybe like, you know, like me, I didn't get any farther than high school. I wasn't any good. I was just a long snapper. But there's things you know what to do when the team is losing momentum and you've got a burn clock. You don't throw the ball around. You run the football. It's like Dirk Cutter has forgotten everything about the basics of how you finish a game.
I mean, I'm sitting there with my girlfriend, Mike, and she's far from a novice, but she's not paid to do what we do like you and me. And she's sitting there and she's screaming at the TV with me saying, why are they throwing the football?
Right.
They ran the football for the last time in the game, Mike, at the 6:10 mark of the fourth quarter. And that's the one thing that I feel like is more infuriating to me. It's even more infuriating than the way the defense played. And not to completely take all the slack off them, but if you think about what we were throwing out there at the end of the game when you had all those starters who we had to begin the season out because of injury – I don't blame as much of it on the defense. You had a lead. It'd be one thing if they just, you know, Katie barred the door and the Bears just boat raced us and we had all of these problems because of the defense. But the fact is you had a lead. You built the lead. You forced the Bears to change quarterbacks.
Right.
And yet this has happened.
No, and Foles comes in and does the job. I mean, look, I get it. We were banged up with injuries. We knew going in it was going to be difficult without Julio. But still, this is a fool's gold Bears team. I mean, we should be 2-1. The Bears very easily could be 0-3. Okay, I mean, this is not a great This is not a great football team. They got a good defense. They can run the ball. But when you execute, when you make plays, and you play smart, you win. The Falcons play the dumbest football in the National Football League. And we'll talk, look, we'll talk to Dan tomorrow. We'll be respectful as we always are. I said this, and by the way, just real quick, I just want to make the mission statement now, Will, just to get it out of the way. I wrote this on Twitter, but I know that, you know, of the, you know, there's only like 20,000 people that follow me on Twitter. We got a lot more people out there that don't get on that mess. I just want to say real quick, when we say, like Carl and I, and Will, because Will was hot last night if you missed the postgame show on the radio, but when it comes to saying a team should move on, in other words, when you're saying it, basically the team should fire the coach, I just want guys to know, we do not take that stuff lightly. I know over the past, you guys, like, you want to fire everybody. Like, no, just the guys not doing their job. I mean, Will, Carl, me, Sean, our boss, Reggie, our big boss, we all get paid based on performance. If Carl and I didn't put up good ratings, we wouldn't be on the air. It's a difficult time for everybody in the economy. You're seeing the radio business is tough. We have to put up numbers or we get got. Coaching in the NFL is not supposed to be like working at the post office where you can't get fired. Okay, so I understand that Arthur has the Yom Kippur holiday. And look, let's be real here. Arthur is 78 and he doesn't want to go through this. He doesn't want to go through the change. That's all this is. We can dance around the subject. Everybody that writes about this team can kind of tiptoe around it. Arthur doesn't want to have to rip the Band-Aid off and start from scratch again. And ripping the Band-Aid off means Dimitroff, it means Quinn, it means everybody. But he doesn't want to do that. So we're going to have to sit through another week of all knowing what we're going to do and how we're going to mishandle a game. Will, it's beyond infuriating.
You know, it's funny. I remember being on the air with you. It was the 27th of December last year when we found out, going into Week 17, Arthur Blank makes the statement, hey, we're going to keep Dan Quinn around for another year. And we were, again, buying into the thinking, or at least told to buy into the thinking, that going 6-2 down the stretch made a difference, and that was the real snapshot of this team, and that was what is going to be extrapolated over a 16-game season going into the 2020 season. What's happened through three games, Mike? It's gotten worse. I mean, I understand we went 1-7 during the 2019 opening of the season. I don't remember three games feeling the way these felt. And again, the Seattle game, Seattle was a better football team in that game, but we were in that game. We had a chance to compete in that game. We made some mistakes in the second half. But the last two games, one of those is inexcusable. Two in back-to-back weeks? This tells me that, number one, this team does not know how to win. And number two, when you think about where our personnel is, we do not utilize them in the best way possible. We were down two of our top three wide receivers, and we're still throwing the football. We threw the football. There was 41 dropbacks in the game on Sunday. We ran it just 24 times, and we were down two big receivers. And not to mention, when we ran the ball, Mike, we ran it at 5.8 yards a clip.
That's it.
We actually had success with the run game.
I don't understand how Cutter cannot figure out how to use Dirk Cutter. I mean, look, we know that Dirk Cutter, you know, when he came back, and I'll give credit to Carl, because I thought maybe it was familiarity with Matt. But at the heart of this issue, and we'll talk more about this, and we'll ask Dan tomorrow when we get a chance. You know, we've had two different coordinators running an offense that isn't theirs. It's not an offense they run. It's not their language. It's not their play. Look, again, it's not like we're reinventing the wheel here, okay? You got Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Todd Gurley. Figure it out. Calvin Ridley, Hayden Hurst. But we've got another coach here who's just going backwards. And Cutter 2.0 is a freaking disaster, okay? Mm-hmm. How do you not understand how to use – look, and if Gurley, heaven forbid, he does get a little worn down, okay, well, then we'll sit him for the first half next week. We'll figure it out. We got to get this team on track. Team should be 2-1. We're 0-3. Everybody is off the bandwagon. Falcon fans are so over this thing, it's not even funny. I said this on Twitter, Will. I go, look, before even COVID, half-empty stadiums should communicate to Arthur Blank that nobody is buying on the 6-2 resurgence, that this is the right regime to get this team to the Super Bowl. We had our chance, and we choked it away. And then we've choked it away again and again, because the culture of this team is not clutch. The culture of this team is to choke. This team came out like a house of fire on Sunday. Right down the field. Calvin Ridley, we look great. We can't put four quarters together because the coaching staff takes the collar. Situational awareness goes out the window. These guys don't know how to finish. Everybody, I mean, a Pop Warner coach could see it, Will. Mm-hmm. So we're going to roll out. We're going to go, okay, here we go again. And as we said, like, this isn't personal, guys. I'm invested as a season ticket holder. Everybody likes Dan. We like Mike Smith. We liked everybody but Petrino here, okay? Even Mora was nice, you know, at times. But, I mean, it's not personal. And if heaven forbid, well, not really, but if Dan loses his job, he will land on his feet as an assistant. He's making millions of dollars to do a job he can't do.
And to that point, and of course, we'll get all of your reaction to it on a Falcon Monday, brought to you by the folks at Xfinity. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi at 404-741-0929 on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, and also on Twitter. I'm at Willie P. Style, at Mike Bell ATL, and also at 929 The Game. I wrote a piece on 929thegame.com where I said, you know, Arthur Blank, I have an immense amount of respect. You know, I've read his book. I've seen the success from not only his ventures in the business world to bringing a team here to building a sparkling new stadium that I'm wondering is haunted. You know, it's odd, though, when you look at the way this team has performed and you wonder, why is he not as embarrassed as Falcon fans are today? I mean, I'm listening to CBS Sports updates. I see it on TV. You can't escape it. We are the poster child for big collapses. And we already were that, thanks to what happened a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl. But this has just magnified it that much more in back-to-back weeks. And to me, Mike, I'm wondering, you know, if this isn't enough, what is?
Well, that's just it. I mean, what are we going to wait till the bye week? We got a late bye week this year for the Falcons. I understand with the holiday, with obviously Yom Kippur is not a holiday. It's a day of atonement. It's not like you can have a party. But right. I mean, Arthur obviously has family commitments, and it's a day where he is not going to be making any big moves. Could you have done it last night? I don't know. I just think what I said earlier, it holds true. Arthur has been fighting with this because we all know if you get it wrong, it's another 3 years of like, oh, here we go. Or maybe it isn't anymore, Will, in the NFL. If you don't have the right coach, you blow him out after a year.
Right. I mean, well, look, here's the other thing, too. A coach, yeah, you make a change at coach, but you still have the same D coordinator who has let up leads like you've had. You have the same O coordinator that doesn't figure out how to close things out. And you've got the guy who put the personnel in place. Like, this is the thing. A head coaching change solely doesn't fix the problem, in my opinion.
No, as we said, I mean, look, it's personnel. It's the total package, okay? We Isaiah Oliver, I couldn't believe it what I saw in the first quarter. He gets turned around on a slant. Look it up. If you have it on the DVR, go back to the first quarter. Isaiah Oliver is literally turned around, does a pirouette on one of the most basic plays, a wide receiver, just running a slant. I mean, he's just, oh, I said it last week, Will, he was too good to pass up. He's not any good. He's going to be a backup somewhere in the league. He's not a starting corner. And I'll say it again. I got a lot of things I got to do the mea culpas on. I want to take back everything I ever said about Desmond Trufant. Anything, Will, I ever said about Trufant, because Isaiah Oliver, quite honestly, looks like he's in the wrong line of work. We'll
and Denard,
talk about it.
Denard was better, too, in the game today also. I mean, and that's the one thing, too, where, like, you know, the guy who's replacing A.J. Terrell, who we didn't have on the field, at least on the outside, Denard looked actually pretty good.
No, and that's the thing. When a rookie is your best defensive back, other than when, you know, the moments that Denard had, like Bleedy Ray made a nice play earlier, then Bleedy Ray was left in the dust. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's so exasperating when you've got Matt Ryan. Okay, Calvin Ridley, I understand it. You don't have Julio, but you still have good weapons. It really sucked when Russell Gage goes out because he's become a 100-yard guy. He's a bona fide receiver in this league, and it's great to see his development. But this team has got too much talent. They've got enough talent to get leads, and then it's so unclutch, so mismanaged that they choke. Again, let's not dance around the subject. A choke is a choke is a choke. You know it. We know it. Last night on Football Night in America, they're clowning us. We are a laughingstock. We are a laughingstock of the NFL, and I'm sick of it.
It's Dukes and Bell. Willie P. in for Carl. We'll do a whole bunch on the Falcons today on a Falcons Monday. We'll also talk about the Braves starting the playoffs on Wednesday. And a big weekend in college football. Get it all out. We'll have it for you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Dukes and Bell Radio.com. Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9TheGame.com and the Radio.com app. Mike, I do want to echo something you said in the open and also kind of back it up with this. You know, we don't take our position lightly as the flagship of the Falcons. And we don't sit here as people who, you know, try to react viscerally for no reason. I feel like everybody on this radio station takes a very measured approach to things. But I do feel like when we see things that are unacceptable, it's our job and our job to be fair and call it out. And, you know, we take no pleasure in saying the things that we've said about the way this regime has performed, especially over the last year or two or three. But at times, you feel that certain things have run its course. And I feel like that's all that you and me and the folks who are on this radio station are saying right now is that the voice seems to be lost. Dan Quinn is a very nice man. He is very accomplished. He earned every right to have this job for as long as he's had. But I do feel like, and many Falcons fans are agreeing with us, that maybe the time is now, or at least very, very soon, for us to move on.
Oh, come on. Look, with all due respect, well, the time was last freaking year. Okay? Look, I just want to let people know. I mean, it's difficult. We'll just lay it out there. I mean, it's a balancing act when you're on the flagship. You know, we have a relationship with the Falcons, but we've always been, and I think they appreciate that. As long as you don't get into name-calling, you know, as long as you don't go down that Philadelphia road, that guy is a loser. You know, you start doing that nonsense. Okay, that's right. You know, we're having an adult conversation, but I get hot because I'm invested in this team. You know, every year I tell people, you know, hey, look, you moved here from somewhere else, Philly, Chicago, jump on a Falcons bandwagon. You got people who lived here since, you know, the '60s, and they've seen this, and they go, I've seen enough with the Falcons, and I always feel like an idiot every year. I'm like, nah, man, being a true fan is being through thick or thin. You know, and being a true fan is bellyaching and demanding excellence. I think if you want to be a sheep and go, well, you know, it's better than, you know, when Bart was here, we never had back-to-back winning seasons. Well, now we got I never understood that mentality. Same thing with the Braves. Well, you know, it was here in the 80s. Yeah, so what? So what? We're trying to win a championship, okay? If we're not trying to win a championship in everything we endeavor to do, whether it's the Georgia Bulldogs, the Jackets, whoever it is, what are we doing here? We're wasting time. You know, do you wake up in the morning? Geez, I sure hope I'm the third best sales guy in my office. What the fuck is that? You know, so when it ain't right, you say it ain't right. And again, it's not like we're making stuff up. You know, facts are facts. We choke. You want, a collapse. I mean, and by the way, I don't give a crap what the players say. I'm glad they like Dan. Yippee-ki-yay. But Dan is not putting you in, his staff is not putting you in a place to succeed. And by the way, I cannot yell because we have our condo for sale and I don't have rugs and artwork to absorb the volume. So my screaming and ranting is just bouncing off of four walls and I'm about to get a probably strongly worded message from the HOA here because we're working from home.
I'm shocked with all the hours that I've done over the last couple of days that I have not gotten a knock on the door from my neighbor or anything like that. I was actually out on the patio earlier in another call, and the person was out on the patio, and she looked up at me, and I got the eyes, and I was like, oh, so it's you who's loud all the time. I was like, hey, man, I can't. This is COVID, man. That's what we have to do. How is the move going, by the way?
Oh, it's all the house. We're just waiting on the house. Looks like everything's going to be tip top here in about a couple of weeks. And condo just got listed. So we'll see where it goes, man.
I'm sad that you're leaving me. The Midtown Brethren is you're departing. I'm kind of sad. I'm not going to lie.
You know, again, if the house doesn't pass inspection and nobody buys the condo, I won't be going anywhere. Will lives literally two blocks away from me. We're doing the show here in Midtown, live normally from the Kia Studios, our mobile Kia Studios. It is Dukes and Bell. Carl is off. Trinity's birthday. They always do something special for his daughter's birthday. And again, you know, I mean, it's difficult for Carl. We were talking during the weekend, too. He's as frustrated as I am, you know. And by the way, we don't play radio. I think if you've been listening, to Will's point, if you listen to the show over the years, you know we speak from the heart. We know where this is at. You know, and by the way, Arthur Blank, you said this earlier. I mean, Arthur made his bones and he made his billions by knowing what the customer wants. You know, I just think at this stage, and again, I don't know, maybe we'll get a chance to speak with Arthur in the next couple of weeks. But it just feels like there's a hesitancy to want to just rip the Band-Aid off, and because everybody knows it's not working. You know,
exactly.
I mean, and what's so frustrating is, you know, some guys say, well, what happens if we get a new coach and general manager? I don't know. Some guys might say, we've had our shot, we've missed our window, it's time to start trading pieces for draft equity, and we blow it up, which obviously is going to be the worst, and that Arthur doesn't want to do that. But that's the thing. Will, we've got enough talent. We've got guys here. We just got to use them the right way. You know, I mean, this team has got all the components that the 16 team had. But, you know, arguably with a better defense because we added some pieces. Grady's one of the best defensive tackles in the league. You know, but I mean, this one just drives me bananas. And now another week with this. Because with all due respect to Dan, as we said, we're not making it personal, guys. We're keeping it above board. Mm-hmm. There's just fundamental flaws in the way this team is run. And that's what manifests itself in the fourth quarter every time we blow these games.
It's Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl. Bo Morgan producing the show. Craig's behind the glass. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
It's brought to you by T-Mobile. Get an amazing network for an amazing price. Visit T-Mobile online at T-Mobile.com or go to a T-Mobile store to find out more. 30-26 is the final from yesterday. Dan Quinn, to be fair and to his credit, took most of the blame.
It falls on me in all spaces. I want to make sure we're clear on that. But we're all in this together. And so when there's a game, there's things to do differently offensively, defensively, on team. So we are all connected on it together. But at the end of the game, the results and, you know, setting up things for how we'll go, that falls right through me.
Where does the I guess, brunt of your frustration? Because, again, the brunt of my frustration is on the offense and the play calling. Like I said earlier, I'm not necessarily going to sit here and completely impugn the defense that was out there because of the fact that we had so many guys who were reserves out there. Where does the brunt of your frustration lie?
I think in this game, and obviously the special teams were a disaster, but it took more, as Dan Quinn told us last week. It didn't come down to the mesmerized play. But again, do you want to be memes? Do you want to be the laughingstock of the league? Because that moment happened, and we weren't prepared. And you saw last night, if you didn't watch the game, the Saints tried to take a page out of the Cowboys' playbook, and it almost worked. The ball actually spun out of bounds, just a little bit shy of the 10 yards. And actually, the Saints were in a pretty decent position to make a play on it. But here's the thing. Why does the new way to kick has to be at our expense? Because we weren't prepared. You know, that's, to me now, this most recent loss, it's about Cutter. You know, we know that the backups are in. We don't have the elite wide receivers. They can double Calvin. But every time you're dropping Matt back to pass, you're not burning clock. See, right. That's the thing. You guys, if you don't believe me, you can look it up, because I did this morning. I went back and watched the fourth quarter because I'm a masochist. But when you're blowing – seriously, Will, when you've got a double-digit lead and now you realize, okay, now you've lost momentum, team is getting on you, you burn 1 minute 36 seconds, 60 seconds exactly, and then 22 seconds in three possessions. And you touched on this in the opening segment. With two of your three starting wide receivers out, no Julio, no Russell Gage. Run the ball, swing passes, high percentage. But whatever you're going to do, it's got to move the clock. Put the pressure on the Bears. Make them burn timeouts. We made it easy for them.
Got the ball with a 10-point lead at 6:15 to play in the fourth quarter. We won the ball once the entire rest of the game after we had been rushing it 5.8 yards a carry. Speaking of football this weekend, at least in the collegiate level, were you a little nervous watching those Georgia Bulldogs in the first half? I know it turned out all right at the end, but my goodness, it was a little hairy there in Fayetteville.
No, it's exactly what we said would happen. We said, look, it's going to be sloppy. They're going to, you know, Georgia's never going to come out and blow doors on the road, you know, in the first year of Todd Monken's offense. I just feel bad for Dwan, because Dwan Mathis, he took a big hit. If you guys didn't watch the game, he takes a really big hit on, I think it was a third down run. And he gets clobbered about 4 yards shy. Seth Emerson broke it down in his blog in The Athletic. And I don't know if he was gun-shy after that, but he went out of bounds. Later on, he runs out of bounds short of the first down marker. It was a play that even, you know, Dave Neal and I think it was Shock were like incredulous on SEC Network about what happened there. But he, give credit to Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett came in. He made completions. He got the ball rolling. And again, when there was a bad snap, he didn't try to force it. He just fell on the football. Next, you know, he throws a touchdown to Pickens. So here's the question. Now we find out today that JT Daniels has been finally cleared medically. Do you want to roll with Stetson Bennett, or do you want a guy who's played in USC, missed a year? You want his first game in the SEC to be against Auburn?
I wouldn't mind it, honestly.
I mean, if he's played in big games for USC, I'm just saying. I mean, it is at home, it is in Athens, but still, that's going to be a heck of a challenge.
Here's my theory, and again, I don't know this for sure, but I'm guessing he was okay to go at some point throughout this week, or at least he had gotten himself medically cleared at some point last week. The fact that he probably wasn't any part of the game plan, though, going into the game against Arkansas, might have been the reason why we didn't see him, even though he was dressed out and it looked like he had his uniform on and his helmet. They didn't want to put him in the game without really having him as part of any part of the game plan. They thought that Stetson Bennett could possibly hold things adequately, and he did. But I think the best long-term decision is to just, I don't want to say throw him into the fire, but I have no problem throwing JT Daniels out there against Auburn if he's good to go and he's fully prepared.
And again, Georgia guys, if you didn't see the game, it was just, you know, it was very sluggish, kind of what you'd expect. And by the way, we couldn't run the ball, too. That was kind of surprising. We knew that, you know, they were going to, you know, Arkansas, it's still a team that's turning over their roster, but Pittman's team was going to be tough. Georgia struggled running the football. Now you got an Auburn defense coming to, you know, between the hedges on Saturday night, 7:30, by the way. Going to be very interesting. Florida looked great. They just blow doors against Ole Miss in the Swamp. LSU gets beat by Mike Leach. We're looking forward to talking to Coach Leach. Then we'll talk about that game later in the Blitz. But, Will, you look around, you know, Alabama does what they're supposed to do against Mizzou, you know, and, and the Tennessee game against South Carolina. South Carolina had a shot, and they blew it. Mm-hmm. But Georgia, it's a very big question now. Who your QB is going to be, we'll try to make some sense of it this week. And Georgia Tech, by the way, they just looked awful out of the start, battled back. And then the turnovers killed the Jackets. They were in a chance to battle back and maybe beat Syracuse, and the wheels fell off.
We'll have plenty also on the Braves, who start the playoffs on Wednesday, hard to believe, after locking up the number 2 seed in the National League. We'll talk a lot about that coming up later on this week as well. Dukes and Bell, Willie P. and for Carl, coming your way on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Where do we go from here as Falcons fans? It's all on the way. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl. Coming up in 20 minutes, guys, we'll do an NFL blitz. We'll give you some Game balls and no balls. Tell you how guys basically figured themselves out over the course of week number three. Also, how Aaron Rodgers did a favor for us inside the NFC South. Did want to focus a little bit on the Braves here, Mike, just because of the fact that we will have the playoffs starting on Wednesday. And, you know, not that I'm going to sit here and take a whole lot of stock in the weekend that was for the Braves. They kind of played out the string against a team that wasn't going to the playoffs, but I'm kind of concerned about this Reds team coming in here. You heard Mike say in the update, 11 out of 14 to close out the season. We, of course, clinched the division basically rather comfortably. Mm-hmm. But I come in now with Max Fried basically only going one inning in his last start. The rotation somewhat uncertain outside of that. Apparently, Acuna's wrist is acting up again. There are some concerns for the Braves going into Wednesday at Truist.
Of course there are. It's the end of the season. Now we're getting ready for the postseason. So here we go. Look, and it's not – here we get all those knuckleheads. Oh, it's a curse. It's Atlanta curse. Yeah, no, it's just – it is what it is. The Reds are hot and not the way you want to finish. But, again, bringing up a minor leaguer, I mean, it's was that the Kung Fu Panda playing third base?
Yes.
I was like, what?
Yes.
I'm like, when did he even get here? So, I mean, you really had a ragtag lineup in there, and the pitching is what it is to fill out the end of the year. We knew that was going to be the, you know, the story. Once you clinch, there's no reason to waste the arms. But I mean, if you believe in momentum, if you believe in, like, in the NFL, you want to have, like, you know, a couple of wins under your belt as you roll into the postseason. The Braves haven't done that. But the important thing is, you know, aside from Acuna, Freddie is healthy. You know, I mean, we've got guys out there that, you know what they've done. Last year, unfortunately, 3, 4, and 5 got ice cold. You know, Donaldson and Marquez and Freddie, it just kind of got ugly, you know, in that Cardinals series. They weren't doing their thing. But look, guys. We know what we can do with the bats. The problem is, and you just touched on it, you're going up against, you know, some of the better pitching staffs, you know, in the playoffs. That's what we knew we were going to see. So now you got Trevor Bauer. He's second only to Jacob deGrom in strikeouts in the National League. The only thing, Will, is the Reds don't hit. I mean, you know, I don't use, I know OPS, I go old school, but they're 13th in runs scored in the National League. Batting average for Cincinnati, the worst in the National League. Braves are second best, obviously. Trevor Bauer, I mean, he's a maniac. I mean, he's going to be talking jive, and he's going to be getting everything. You know, even he's on the road. He don't care. He just goes bananas. So it's not the ideal matchup because you got three. You got Sonny Gray. You got really good pitching, and we're trying to do it with, you know, Max Fried and a bunch of rookies.
They are a figment of their ballpark, too, Mike. 61% of their runs scored come via the long ball. And you know that the Great American Ballpark is a bandbox. Our park is no slouch either, but it's nothing like that one in Cincinnati. And so Having all three of those games, if necessary, at Truist Park will certainly benefit the Braves there.
And I don't want to be negative, Nelly, but it is scary. I mean, it's not the ideal matchup, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and I'll say this, too, about the Braves. You know, we've gotten to a point now where we've seen a 60-game sample size. It's not as big of a sample size as we see for 162. But my biggest question is, what are these games going to look like in the postseason? Are we going to see the requisite jump in play that we usually see from regular season to postseason? Because we know this, at least in the last couple of years, postseason games are played differently and they're managed differently. There's shorter leashes on pitchers. There's a premium on starting pitching. And we just don't have that right now. And I know it won't probably play itself out until at least the division series if we advance beyond this week. But if you get to a point here where you have these best of five and best of seven series without days.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.